You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Today what we want to do is we want to continue our series called Jesus Is, and we're going to be talking about Jesus is powerful. Now, so far, we've said things like Jesus is fun, Jesus is relevant, Jesus is authentic, and those are all really good things. But if we never recognize the fact that Jesus is powerful, that he is more than just human, that he is also God, then what we're going to do is we're going to live a Christian life that is just being a good person. And I don't know about you, but I want to be more than just a good person. I already got the good thing down. I mean, I'm really good, right? And you guys are too, for the most part, except for some of you. You know, for the most part, you're really good people. And so the good thing is not necessarily where I want to end up. I want to go beyond good. I want to go to great. I want to go to powerful. I want to go to where I can achieve all that God's asked me to achieve. I can fulfill my purpose and my destiny. That's the kind of life I want to live. And we don't live that kind of life just on being fun, relevant, and authentic. Those are great things to have. But that's not the end of the road. So today we're going to talk about Jesus is powerful. And if you want to, let me see where we need to start. Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Put your finger in it or bookmark it on your phone because we're about to get into that. That's where we're going in just a minute. Before we get there, though, let's kind of set this up just a little bit. Now, look, whenever we see Jesus in the Scriptures, he's always doing something powerful. Like, he's raising somebody from the dead, he's walking on water, he's walking up to somebody and absolutely telling them everything about their life that he couldn't otherwise know. He's got all this stuff, he's healing the sick, he's doing all these really cool, powerful things, and we love that about Christ. I love the fact that he is powerful and he does all this stuff because at the end of the day, he does that for me. He does it for me. Look, my life was jacked up just like everybody else's life until Jesus came in and changed my life. And so here's the thing. We see all this stuff in the Bible, but sometimes if we're not careful, we read the Bible like a comic book. We start reading the Bible like a comic book. We look at Jesus like he's Superman. And here's the thing about Superman. We can never be Superman. We can never fly. We can never shoot laser beams out of our eyeballs or whatever it is, all the stuff Superman does. I can't stop a bullet. I wish I could. That'd be really awesome. But I can't. I can't run fast. I can't flip dirt bikes on myself and not get broken bones. Right? I mean, like, there's certain things that we can do. Some of y'all are laughing. Grayson is here with us today. He's back from the dead. So we're so thankful Grayson is here. No, it didn't happen. I can't grow hair either, like Superman. I think it's so funny. Grayson is one of our members, and Grayson, his family's in North Carolina, so he goes to North Carolina. And I guess you were just trying to do stunts on your dirt bike or whatever, and dirt bike fell on top of him, and he broke his femur and his collarbone. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty serious. Not what I want to. I mean, I've broken my pinky finger before and it hurt really bad. But that's the extent of my breaks. Grayson breaking his body down pretty bad. And so that was, I think, what was that, on a Monday? No, Saturday. And then on Wednesday night, I remember we have prayer on Wednesday night and we're praying. And so we're praying for Grayson. We got his name on our list and we're praying. And then I think it was Thursday, he sends me a text message. Now, he's had to go through multiple surgeries at this point, and he sends him this text message of him already up walking with a cane, walking down the hallway of the hospital. And then in classic Grayson fashion, once he gets down by the camera, he takes a cane and like starts spinning it like Mr. Peanut or something. And I was just so amazed at what God's doing in his life. I know he's still got a ways to go, but I believe God's healing him and bringing him along. And so we're excited to have Grayson back with us today. And his lovely mother, who probably is the real reason that Grayson is all that he is today. So when we look at the life of Christ, he's doing all this powerful stuff. And if we're not careful, like I said, we view him as Superman. But in reality, the Bible says that he laid down his divinity. He laid down his godship in order to be human like us. And here's the thing that always catches me when I read the scriptures is John 14:12. It says this, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing." Okay, right off the bat, that scares me a little bit because Jesus says, I'm healing sick people. I'm raising the dead. I'm being able to speak into people's lives things that I shouldn't know. And then he says, if you believe in me, you'll do the same stuff. Now, I don't know about you today, but that should put you a little bit on the edge of your seat if you're not doing those things, right? I mean, like, that's making me start thinking, uh-oh, we need to figure something out here. And then he makes it even worse on us as he says this, and they will do even greater things than these. So Jesus tells us this. He says, I'm going to do a lot of powerful stuff. But if you believe in me, then I'm going to expect you to not only do those same things, but I expect you to have the ability to do even greater things than those. So now all of a sudden, my view of Christ is different. I can't look at Jesus like Superman anymore. I can't look at Jesus as some comic book character that I can never achieve. Now I have to look at Christ as something that is achievable for me. Now, the first thing about Christ we know we can't do is we can't be sinless. The Bible says that everybody has sinned and fallen short. So we get that. And Christ was the only one that was sinless. But as far as his power, as far as his ability, we have access to that. So let's figure out how we get access to that. That's why we went to Matthew chapter 3. Because up until the point of the story of Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we have not seen a miracle from Christ. There has been no powerful acts in the life of Christ up until this point. So let's check this out. Matthew chapter 3 says this. Basically, Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, he's baptizing people in water. And in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, whenever they're baptizing people in water, it was a sign of repentance. It was a sign of life change. In other words, it was a reference back to the Israelites coming out of Egypt. And the Bible, some of y'all remember this story. If you watched, what was the movie, the cartoon, Prince of Egypt? Was that it? Was that the one where he raised the staff? Was that Moses, Prince of Egypt? Or was that Joseph? Yes? Okay. Man, I'm getting all my cartoons mixed up, dude. You got to help me out. So Prince of Egypt, Moses comes out, raises his staff. The waters of the Red Sea part. Remember? Everybody walks through the waters. They come out on the other side. And then Pharaoh comes in charging after them. And then the waters all close back together and kills everybody. Pretty morbid story when you really think about it. But so everybody's dead. And the Israelites are saved on the other side. So whenever we get baptized, it signifies that. It is, I once was a slave, I passed through the waters, and now I am free. So John is baptizing people, helping them understand this concept. People come to John, they say, man, my life is messed up, it's jacked up, I need to come back to God, I need to give my life to God. So John says, here's what you do, you repent, you say, I want a life change, you say, I'm going to turn away from my old lifestyle, I'm going to put you under the water, it's like being buried. But whenever you come back up, now you have a new life, and what you're doing is you're showing everybody that new life. So John's out there baptizing people in the river. Jesus shows up in verse 16, and he says, look, I got to get baptized too. They have an argument about it, and Jesus finally wins, as he usually does. In verse 16, it says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven opened up. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Let's pray. Lord, I love you and I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. And God, I just ask today that it would not be so much my opinion, but it would just be your word that we read and we study together. And God, I ask that your word would speak to our hearts wherever we are today. Let your voice ring in our ears today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we never see a miracle. We see this moment of baptism. And then all of a sudden, you begin to see miracles from Christ. So if we're looking at this from a perspective of, I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Jesus. I want the power that Jesus has. Then we have to look at his life. No power. Baptism moment, power. So therefore, we need to learn what happened at that baptism and how can I apply that to my life? I'm going to tell you today there are three main things that happened at that baptism. And I want to show you today how at whatever level we're at, we can apply those three things to our life. Before we even get into that part, though, those three things, we've got to understand one major key point. One major key point, and that is this. God says, "This is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." At some point, we have to figure out that, because that's the most important part of it. If we don't have that part down, if we don't understand how we can be the son who he loves and in whom he is well pleased, then none of the rest of it's going to work for us. So no matter what I say today, if you don't get that part down, if you're not a son or daughter, in other words, if you're not adopted by God and he's not pleased, then nothing else works. So let's figure that out real quick. I don't want to spend a real long time on that part because a lot of us probably have that already, but I just want to make sure everybody has a good understanding of it. So in order to get to God, in order for God to recognize us, the first thing we've got to do is understand how to get to God. And the Bible says this, Jesus speaking in John 14:6, he says, "No man comes to the Father except through me." He says, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life." If you want to get to God, you can only go through me. You can't go through Buddha. You can't go through Muhammad. You can't go through Krishna. You only come through me. I am the door. I am the gateway into God. So we understand that. So first, get to God through Christ. And then the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, you only please God through faith. So in other words, you got to get to God. You do that through Christ. You can only make God happy. You can only please God by faith. What is faith? Faith is believing. Faith is believing in something you can't necessarily see. And you may not always even understand completely, but it's believing it's there. Right? So the Bible says, get to God through Christ, please God by faith. And then Galatians 3:26-27 says this. So we need Jesus, we need faith. Galatians 3 says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, for which all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." In other words, what he says there, what Paul's saying in Galatians is, we read that we've got to have Christ, we've got to have faith. Paul says you put those things together. He says you've got to have faith in Jesus Christ. When you have faith in Jesus Christ, you become a son of God. We become adopted. We become his offspring. We are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. It says there that you've been baptized in Christ. Now, I preached, I'm wanting to say, I don't think it was last October, but October before last. If you go back to our gatewayfamily.cc, you can go to our message archive, and you can find a message, a series called Ghost Stories. And in that series, there's a message called Three Baptisms. And if you go back in there, you'll see basically the three things we're talking about today. But the first baptism is baptism in Christ. In other words, it is salvation. It is me recognizing Jesus Christ as Lord. The Bible says Lord there is like the boss, right? The master. I want Christ established as king in my life. So whenever we come to that realization and we accept Christ into our life, that is the baptism in Christ is what they say. And that's the point that we've got to get to today. That's the very first thing you've got to understand. So once we get that, now we can move into our next three points. So once we have that first baptism is this. It gives us power to live. Power to live. Whenever I accept God and God accepts me, now I've got power to live. I want you to look at one verse with me today. I like this verse a lot. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And we'll probably have it on the screen. Maybe. It's possible. Yes, we will. Excellent. It says this. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
Everything. Everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Let me say this. Because the next two things I'm going to talk about today are controversial in the church. See, every church that you go to in America, in the world, as far as Christianity is concerned, a lot of them are going to vary and differ on the next two things I'm going to talk about, but they should never vary on the first thing I'm going to talk about. See, salvation, giving your heart to Christ, allowing Christ to be the head of your life, should be a foundational message across the board. And this is the one thing I love, is it says we have everything we need. In other words, it sounds like I'm about to contradict myself in some of this. In other words, if you get the first thing, the power to live, salvation, you don't necessarily have to have the next two things. Well then, Gabriel, why are we even going to preach them? Just because you don't have to have them doesn't mean it's not good to have. I can get in a car all day long and not have air conditioning and not have a radio. I can drive that car from here to Alaska if I want to. I will be hot and sweaty and bored, but I will get to Alaska. I will make it, right? But if you throw AC and a radio in that car, now all of a sudden the trip is different. The journey is more palatable. But it's not necessary to have AC and a radio. How many of y'all have ever driven in a car without AC in the summer? Yes, yes, yes. We have a car like that. My wife's car. Of course, I'm going to drive the car with AC in it. But my wife's car, no, I'm teasing. My wife's car doesn't have AC in it. Like, the AC just broke on us. And to be honest with you, it would cost more to fix the AC than the car is even worth. So there's just no sense in doing it. So my wife is always cold-natured. So we always just, she likes to drive it. She rolls the windows down. But whenever I drive it, I'm hot-natured. So I'll be driving along in the summertime. I drive her car or my motorcycle. And so I'll be driving her car with no AC. And I get to wherever I'm going. And it just, it looks like I mean, I've just got water. Just water everywhere. I'm just soaked. I need to take extra shirts with me, right? Because I just sweat through everything. So it's doable. It's just not fun all the time. Salvation is the only thing you need. Here's the thing that I've noticed a lot of times in church is I've noticed people say, well, I've got, if I could just get to hear that preacher, if I could just get to this church, if someone would just play this one song for me, I know my life would be different. I know I would have more of God. Can I tell you something? Whenever you get saved, you've got all the God you ever need. When you give your heart to Jesus Christ, you've got everything you ever need. So stop saying, if I could just get here, if I could just do that. You got it all right there. We could end the sermon right there. It could be over. The one thing we need is salvation. I like what it says. We get power to live. In Acts 17:28, Paul says this. It says, in him we live and move and have our being. You want to know what it's like to be a Christian? Here's what it's like to be a Christian. It's living and moving and having your being in God, in Christ. In other words, everything I do runs through the filter of Jesus. Everything I say runs through the filter of Jesus. So what separates you from just a really good person? The fact that everything you do is selfless. Everything you do is for His purpose and His glory, not just your own. I live and move and have my being. There's another good one. It says, 1 John 3:9 says, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed, Jesus, abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. In other words, our lives are completely changed. We have the power to live. So people say, well, Gabriel, I can't get over my sin. I got to go to a special meeting. I got to go to a special thing. It's good to have the special in it, and I'm all for the extracurricular. But everything you need is in Christ. Everything you need is already in you at the point of salvation. Jesus said this to the disciples. When Jesus is getting ready to go, he looks at his disciples, and he the Bible says he breathes on them. He breathes on them. He blows. And it says this. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not baptism in the Spirit. That is what happens at salvation. We receive God's Spirit inside of us. Jesus comes inside of us and lives inside of us. He attaches himself to our spirit. So now everything that I do, the Bible says I walk according to the Spirit, not the flesh. The Bible says you have fruits of the Spirit that comes from Christ abiding in you. And now all of a sudden things like self-control and patience are accessible to you because of that life. So if you find yourself saying, man, I've got no patience whatsoever. I'm really struggling with this. You know, I've got no self-control in this area. That's a you problem. You don't need to go to a special teacher or special church. What you need is you need to allow Christ to live inside of you. In Him we live and move and have our being. Let's look at the second thing real quick. So the first thing we have, God saying, this is my son. We understand that. We've got to give our hearts to Jesus Christ. But the second thing, it says Jesus was baptized in water. It said He came up out of the water. Now there are some places that are going to tell you that you must be baptized in water to go to heaven. I'm not against those people, except here's the one thing, the only problem I've got with that is there's way too many people in the Bible that were not baptized in water. And I don't know how to account for them, right? The Bible says that Jesus is hanging on the cross. There's two thieves on either side. One thief is being a jerk. The other thief is telling the jerk he's a jerk, right? And he says, Jesus, remember me whenever you go to paradise. And Jesus says, you will be with me. Now, he had no opportunity to get baptized. He's stuck on a tree. It's not like he can say, can y'all lower this into a swimming pool real quick? I mean, he can't do that. He's stuck, right? So he dies without baptism. But Jesus already said, you're going to be with me. So therefore, I don't think it's necessary to be water baptized to get into heaven. But I do think it's powerful. Here's why. It's the power of testimony. So if you're taking notes today, it's power of testimony. Look at this in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Check this out. The Bible talks about the Christians in the end times, and it says they triumphed. They had victory. They won. They defeated the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. That's salvation, right? We get saved because Jesus had to die and was sacrificed by His blood. We're saved. So number one, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Let me explain to you what water baptism is, because I'm afraid that sometimes we don't emphasize it nearly enough. Even in our church, we don't emphasize it nearly enough, probably because we don't have a place to do it, right? Unless we're going to just get out like a jug of water and just start dumping it on people's heads, which we can do. I mean, that's doable. But I'm afraid sometimes we don't emphasize it enough. But whenever we get baptized in water, what you're telling, that is a testimony. What's a testimony? Well, think about it. Whenever you go to court and you have to give a testimony, right? You are telling people what happened, what I saw, what I heard, what my life was like. Whenever you get baptized in water, it is a testimony to everybody that my old man, I was bad, I was sinful, I was selfish, I died figuratively and was raised back from the dead, a new creation. A new person. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that in Christ we are made new creations. Now most of the time our tradition holds that you get baptized one time. Right? How many of y'all have ever been water baptized before? Anybody ever been water baptized? Okay. How many of y'all been water baptized more than once? Anybody been water? All right, good. I'm not alone, man, because I was that kid, man. I'd go get water baptized, and then I would go out and just sin bad. And then I'd be like, oh, man, I get water baptized again. So I go get water baptized again, and then I would, like, even go into my own bathtub because I'd get embarrassed to do it in front of church. I'd be like, okay, I'm going under again. So I just decided to baptize myself. And so it's one of those things, like water baptism, tradition holds you do it one time. But I really don't see anything wrong with doing it more than one time. That's not God. That's straight Gabriel just telling you how I see it. Okay? I just don't know that there's anything wrong with doing it more than one time. We never know in the Bible if anybody did it more than one time. We do, except for Jesus, we never see Him do it again. But we do know this, in the Old Testament, there was a guy that had to be baptized in the water, and the prophet told him, I want you to be baptized seven times. And on your seventh time, you'll be completely clean, right? Sometimes I think it takes a good seven times for some of y'all to get set free. Amen? And me too. Sometimes I feel like I need to get baptized the next time we have one. So I think it's okay to do that. But whenever we do that, we are proclaiming to the world, I'm a new creature. I'm brand new. What you saw me doing, what you thought my life was like, I'm leaving in the water. And when I come up, I'm all new. So it's a power of testimony. So although some places may overemphasize baptism, some places may underemphasize baptism, never discredit the power of your testimony and your water baptism. It's so important for you to do. As a matter of fact, we've got water baptism coming up next month. Am I right, Beverly? Next month, we're going to have the baptism. We're going to go get it from Auburn. We're going to bring it up here, and we'll do water baptism next month. And so if anybody has not been water baptized and you want to be water baptized, just let Beverly know back there at the table, and we will get you signed up, and we will get you in the water. It'll be a lot of fun. But the last one is this. Again, another controversial one. So water baptism, a lot of people argue over water baptism. Do I have to have it to get saved? Do I not have to have it to get saved? We're saying, no, you don't have to have it to get saved. But it's like having AC in the car. It's very good to have. We want it. The last one is this, the power to witness. The Bible says when Jesus is baptized, he comes up out of the water, right? So we got the water. He's being acknowledged by God. So we've got the Father relationship that we want through Christ. And then the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon him. Upon him. Now notice this. Jesus breathes on his disciples and says, receive the Holy Spirit. We understand that Christ comes inside of us, right? He lives inside of us. But now the Holy Spirit is different in this one because it says it came upon him. Upon him. We're going to call this the power to witness. Acts 1:8 says this, Jesus speaking, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. I want you to underline the words on you right there. On you. I believe at salvation you get every bit of God you need inside of you. If I'm thirsty and I want water, I drink it. Where did that water go? It's not a trick question, like you can answer. Inside of me, right? It went into my mouth, then into my stomach. It went inside of me. So at salvation, I get everything I need right there. But if you view that as the Spirit of God inside of me, now I've got it. My thirst has been quenched, right? Now we see another thing. Twice it says the Holy Spirit on you. It would be the difference between me drinking that and then just taking that and dumping it on Jeff's head, right? I can ingest it, have it inside of me, or I can have it on top of me. Now, whenever I pour water on top of myself, now I'm soaking wet, right? Have you ever had, any of you that have kids, have you ever had that kid that gets out of the bathtub or the shower and just feels the need to run through the house butt naked without a towel? You know what I'm talking about? Yes, yes. Nobody else, just me and Ola, the only two people that had that happen? Ola, we got some jacked up kids or we are bad parents, one of the two. The bad thing is when it's you that's running through the house soaking wet, right? So what happens whenever the kid runs through the house soaking wet? What do they leave? A trail, right? Watery footprints everywhere they go. Everything they touch has water all over it. Jesus said this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you because I want you to be a witness. Now, you've got everything you need in salvation. You don't have to have this. But if you want to be a more effective witness, I encourage you to get this. Jesus said, go wait for it, pray for it, ask for it. He said, because it'll make you more effective witness. It's like this. I can give you an axe and tell you to chop down a tree. And that will work. I can also give you a chainsaw to chop down the same tree. And that will work also. One's more efficient maybe than the other, but they're both doable. And so today I want to make sure you understand that. We're not telling anybody because, and the reason I'm harping on this a little bit, and some of you guys that are like, old school, you've been in church your whole life, you're saying, why are you harping on that so much? You're kind of downplaying it. I'm not downplaying it, but I have had people in the church come to me before, and they've said, Pastor, you know, someone told me one time that the baptism, if I don't have baptism of the Holy Spirit, I can't go to heaven. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not true. Because I know lots of people that don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit went to heaven. Went to heaven, right? Again, thief on the cross. There ain't nobody praying for him about Holy Spirit. He doesn't know what it is. No one taught him about it. He still went to heaven. So you don't have to have it, but it does make you more effective. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:7-11, we're not going to read all that, but it talks about the gifts that come from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All kinds of gifts, a variety of gifts. And listen, they all have to do with what Jesus was doing. One of the gifts, word of knowledge. What does word of knowledge mean? Word of knowledge means I know something about you without you telling me. Remember, Jesus did that at the woman at the well, right? Word of knowledge. I knew something about her. I remember one time, I've told this story lots of times. You're probably tired of it, but I love it. My parents, I told you guys, my parents used to be poor, like dirt poor. Like they got married in college and had a baby in college, dirt poor. Didn't have nothing, right? Dad's working double shifts at a factory just to be able to provide a little bit for the family to get them both through college. And they didn't have anything. They're down to one jar of jalapenos. One of their friends goes to the grocery store. God gives him a thought, word of knowledge. Hey, Mike and Sue need some help. That's Holy Spirit giving him a word, just like he did to Jesus, just like he did to this guy. So you've got all these gifts, and these gifts make you a more effective witness. Do we have to have them? No. But are they awesome to have? Yes, of course they are. Do you have to have every single one of them? No. We have no record of people having every single one of them. But it is, Paul says, pursue them, desire them, go after them. Right? He says this should be a good thing for you to do. Go after these things. But here's the hang up for most of us. Are y'all ready for this? We're about to end right here. Here's the hang up where most of us just get just stuck, man. And that is the big question, what's up with the tongues? Like, Pastor, I'm all about what you're saying about word of knowledge. That's great. Prophecy, that's great. It's the word of God. Yeah, I get it. Faith. Bible says one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is faith. Yes, I'm all about faith. But what about the tongues, man? Do I have to do that? Like, what is that all about? Why do people do that? Let me put your mind at ease today. You don't have to do anything. At the end of the day, God's not, you're not a puppet, and God's not controlling you. There are no strings attached. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. But let's explain that for just a second. And actually, next month, I think May, you know, in May, I'm going to be doing a whole series on the Holy Spirit. We'll get into this more in depth and just have a really super practical understanding of something that is very supernatural. But we'll get into it more then. But I want to just give you two verses that I feel like are important today for us to understand to set us our minds at ease. The first thing is this. Have you ever watched the old Batman TV show? Remember that one? And that was before you had to have muscles to be a superhero, right? I mean, Adam West almost has a pot belly in his tighties. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm like, man, if that dude can be a superhero, anybody can be a superhero. And so, so Adam West has this red phone in the Batcave. And Commissioner Gordon also has a red phone in his office. Does anybody remember what that red phone did? Call the commissioner, call Batman. It was a direct line from one to the other, right? Direct line. In other words, I don't have to go through an operator. I don't have to, you know, I don't have to go around any kind of channels. I don't even have to dial anything. I just pick it up and the other one rings. Let me tell you, when we look at the gifts of the Spirit, every single gift of the Spirit is for you to use to minister and help other people. Except one. There's only one gift that has nothing to do with other people. Nothing to do with other people. As a matter of fact, it's got a very specific purpose. When you look at tongues, the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 14:2. Check this out. It says, "For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God." It says, "No one understands them, and they utter mysteries by the Spirit." Mysteries by the Spirit. In other words, whenever someone speaks in tongues, they're not talking to you. They're not talking to anybody in the room. They're talking to God. So you can understand this today. How powerful would it be if you had a direct line straight to God? You're saying, "Gabriel, I don't even know what to pray about this situation. My boss has come in. He's told me I got 30 days. I don't even know what to do. I don't know what to pray. I'm at a loss here." The Bible says this in Romans 8:26. When you don't know what to pray, the Spirit helps you pray. With groanings and utterings that aren't even real words. Why? Because there's times you just don't even know what to do and you need a direct line to God. You need that. Why? Because it's more powerful that way. So do you have to have it? No. Is it of the devil? No. I mean, we all come from different backgrounds. Some of y'all have been in churches your whole life. Some of y'all have been in Baptist churches and Methodist churches and Pentecostal churches. And we've got all these varied backgrounds. We've got some people have never been in church before. And so this is always the hang up, because some people teach tongues are of the devil. Some people teach, there's another verse, chapter right before, chapter 14, verse 13, where it says tongues will cease. And they say, well, if tongues will cease, that means they're not even for today. It also says knowledge will cease. And I don't think knowledge has ceased yet, right? We're still pretty smart people and we're still growing in knowledge. I'm not saying everybody's got to do it. I'm saying it's available. I'm not saying everybody's got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm saying it's available. I'm not saying everybody's got to be baptized in water. I'm saying it's available. Jesus is powerful. I want to be powerful. I don't want to go through life just being me. I mean, I love me, but I'm not as effective just me. I'm more effective when there's Christ in me. I'm more effective when the Spirit of God is on me. So the power to witness, the power of testimony, not necessary, but good, not necessarily, but good, but the power to live, Jesus Christ in your life, Lord and Savior, necessary, most definitely necessary. We got to have that one. And we're going to end in just a second. We're going to pray for that. Some of you may say, well, Gabriel, how do I apply all that stuff to my life? How do I make it work? I'm going to tell you something, man. In my life, my advanced age of 34 years, I've started doing something. My dad always taught me this growing up. He said every couple of years, you need to reevaluate your theology. Go back through what you believe and just make sure you're not believing things because somebody told you to believe it. Make sure it's the Word of God. Make sure it's biblical. So I just started going back through my theology. I'm saying, man, I've done a lot of dumb things in the name of God. I've done a lot of dumb things and said, oh, that was God doing that. No, that was you doing that, right? So you say, well, Gabriel, what do I do with this message? How do I take this home? I want to encourage you to do this. Study it. Study it. I like to give you something every so often that's controversial, something that other people may not really buy into, because really at the end of the day, if you're not learning to feed yourself, you're not going to survive waiting on me to feed you once a week. So take these notes home and study them. Read over them. See what God's really saying to you about these things. If today it was a little bit of a stretch talking about water baptism, then go in and read about it. Call me up on the phone. Let's talk about it. If it's a stretch hearing about baptism in the Holy Spirit, maybe you come from a background that's absolutely against that. That's okay. Understand, at least we can believe the same on one level, and that's salvation. But hey, don't just end with, hey, I don't like that, I've never understood that. Reevaluate your faith and see what the Bible actually says about it before you discard it. Amen? And then the Bible says this, Paul speaking, pursue it. Pursue it. On your own, go after it. Now at the end of the service, we'll have people down here, they're going to want to pray with you if you want prayer for anything today. And there was a time in my life, man, we would have these services, and you know, and I remember as a kid going to camp, right? And they take you away to summer camp for a week and lock you in an unair-conditioned room, right, Pastor Shane? We went to the same camps growing up, and it was awful. It was like they wanted you to know what hell felt like, so that every night when you went to church, you would like get saved all over again, you know. And I remember we'd have these services, man. They'd say, you know, you got to get saved, you got to get baptized, and they'd do all this stuff, and they'd take you and they'd grab you by the head and they'd shake you around, you know. I guess they're trying to rattle something loose, maybe get that gives God more freedom in your life, I don't know. But I found out if you actually read the Bible, you don't really see that very often. What you see is you see people that say, hey, I've never heard of that, I want some more of that, what do I need to do to receive it? And God gives it to them. The Bible says it's a gift. Any of this stuff is a gift. You only receive it by faith. It doesn't say you have to have wailing and gnashing of teeth to be saved. Jesus says this, you just believe. Just believe by faith. Receive Him. Amen? Why don't we bow our heads today and close our eyes for just a second?
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.